Morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. Today we are in my mother-in-law's house in Abingdon, Virginia, and we thank her for opening up her warm place where we're here today and sitting on the couch and have the chart up on the TV, so I hope you can see it okay. If not, I'm sure it's in your memory banks on what's there to see. But we just want to say thank you once again, Jean, for opening up the house. We had a good time here. We got to see many of our kids and family. We still missed a couple, and Megan and Kyle. So many of you know how that is when you're living far away. It's hard to see everybody. But just think about how this time of year is rough on people. It can be emotional on people. It can be exciting times for people too. So just keep that in thought and prayer as loved ones are in homes and many of them are by themselves. And we feel for those. And if you have a prayer request of praise items, if you want to text it to me or email it to me, I will definitely share it. But we do think of you often, and especially our old church family. You know, it's hard to not think about you guys. But anyway, we love you just the same. Let's go to the word and prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the things you've given us. As we think about the message today, as we go through the Bible and understand some things that's pertaining to Israel's program and the Body of Christ programs, and enlighten us to hear and see what is for us and what's to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you're tuning in on Facebook Live, we have YouTube TV, we have our website, and Boxcast TV. So if you want to contribute or help out with that, one of these great things about this is we're mobile, and you're not going to bow, you're not going to hold the Word of God down when he says the Word of God will not be bound. You're not going to stop the Word of God going out. I know that many churches is starting to get together, and that's good, but when you can't get together and you have internet or that type of thing, even a phone call, you can still have church. And so church is a called out assembly. But as we think about what we're doing, last week we had little difficulties on being on Facebook Live, and I do apologize for that because I changed my password on Facebook, and the Boxcast would not recognize it. But it was on YouTube and on our website. So we did a short version of last week, lesson 10. This is lesson 11. We did upload the video of lesson 10. If you want to go back to our website or our YouTube channel, you can watch all the lessons that we're having. We're in lesson 11, and we left off about talking about the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, you know, we're looking at, well, let me go back this way for a second. This probably not coming in too clear because of the glare. But we have times past, but now, and ages to come. And what we're doing, we're going through the Bible, and this is going to be a prelude of when we study the Word of God, the fundamentals of dispensationalism. You'll have some basic knowledge of what we're doing. But we worked through Genesis through Malachi. We worked through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're actually in the book of Acts. In this time period right here, in the book of Acts, we left off in the book of Acts, beginning to be the continuation of the ministry found through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I asked you if you'd be turning to Luke chapter, leave your finger in Acts, because that's where we're at. But it is a continuation of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 13, and I trust the audio and everything's coming in okay. Okay, thank you. Luke chapter 13. If you remember the parable of the fig tree. And verse 6 says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and found none. Cut it down. Why cumber it to the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that thou shall cut it what? Down. So he's asking, the Lord came there to the nation Israel. This is a parable showing he came there to the fig tree. The fig tree, he was going to cut it down because it had no fruit on it. So what did the dresser say?
Dung about it.
Lord, let it be 1 year. And when we first moved to Ohio, we knew a man was half Greek, half Italian. And I asked him about a fig tree. He said, yeah, you dung it up. You put leaves and stuff on. Well, that's what he knew the Lord was going to cut that tree down. If you remember, John the Baptist says the axe is at the root of your tree. John the Baptist is ready to cut Israel off completely. They're supposed to have been the root. They're supposed to have been a tree. They're supposed to have been producing fruit. But this 1 year is an extension of mercy was added to Israel's time period. So if you think about Luke chapter 23, verse 34, we went through that last week. We're not going to go there. But that's some things that you got to keep in mind, that 1 year extension. And their minds, Israel as a nation, you're going to remember, this top line is the true Israel, the true vine. But there was also an apostate nation, Israel, going along with that because they wasn't following the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They thought they was, but their minds was blinded in unbelief. We looked at that in John chapter 12, that he blinded the minds in unbelief. And this is still no excuse for the nation Israel not to know who Jesus Christ was. But it did make a difference of the penalty the Lord was going to apply to them. Because at the cross, he could have just really nailed them all. But he extended that 1 year to allow them to renew their repentance, give them another year. And it really defines the nature of the opening of the book of Acts to extend that mercy to Israel. Now, we also talked about the book of Acts being a transitional book. And when it opens up, Israel opens up, he asks for a renewed opportunity to the nation Israel. If you know what Acts chapter 1 verse 6 says, they asked him the first question that the apostles asked the Lord Jesus Christ after he died and was buried and rose again. The first question they asked in Acts chapter 1 verse 6, it said, when will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? So that's what they was thinking about. That's all they knowed about the kingdom. That kingdom is going to take place over here. Okay? It is not taking place now, but they're looking for a renewed opportunity because of some things that they did. And we compared the verses last week and the first part of Acts when we looked at Acts chapter 1 verse 6 and Acts chapter 2, compared it to what Acts 13 and 18 was saying, going, going, gone. Now, we're going to look at the book of Acts, how it's naturally divided into two sections. And it demonstrates that Paul was the perfect replacement for Peter and the 12. I know what a lot of people say right now. We're not in but now. This is a but now right now. We're still in times past period. So we're looking at the first chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-ish. That's 1 year right there, guys. I know it seems like eternity when you start to read the book of Acts, but Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7 is 1 year. Acts chapter 8 is 1 year in your Bible. And so that's the fig tree. That's why you got to keep to remember. He's allowing them mercy and grace to extend what God has favored them to and allow them not to go in that raft. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. But the two parts, divisions that you really need to look at on top of what we're looking at in a threefold mystery is in times past, chapters 1 through 12 dealing with Peter, okay? That's the central figure in there. But let me ask you something. Who did God give the head of the church to?
Peter. Jesus Christ.
No. Who did Jesus, God, give the head of the church? Who was supposed to be the head of the church? It wasn't Peter. It's James. James is the head of the church. But Peter is the one that everybody goes to, and God used him. But James is really supposed to be the head there. And I think about that a little bit, and I think about Moses and Aaron type of thing. But the central figure in chapters 1 through 12 is Peter. Chapters 13 through 28 is Paul. But now, times past is Peter, but now it's Paul. And Acts chapter 2, the first sermon. Acts chapter 13, I'm just going to go through this kind of quick. We'll turn some verses here in a little bit. Acts chapter 13 is Paul's first sermon. Acts chapter 3, first miracle of dispensational foreshadowing. Chapter 13 of Acts is Paul's. Acts 8 condemns a sorcerer. Paul condemns a sorcerer in Acts 13. Acts chapter 9, raised from the dead. In Acts chapter 20, Paul raises somebody from the dead. Acts chapter 5, special miracles. Acts 19, Paul. Acts chapter 8, lay hands and give the Spirit. Acts 19. Acts 4 and 12, in prison. Paul's in prison, chapter 21, 23, and 28. So those central figures is what you need to see in those divisions. Now, salvation and commissioning of the Apostle Paul marks that dispensational boundary that we as dispensations really look like, and it is important. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, as much as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. This is a big to-do for Paul, right? What is it? We're going to probably look at this later on, but did they stumble that they fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall. So they do fall. Israel falls. And they diminish. And a lot of people don't want to recognize that. Shame on them. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. First time I sat down in a long time, so it kind of feels weird, but I'm not restricted. I can get up and run if I need to. But Acts chapter 15, verse 15. Acts chapter 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. A lot of verses that shows you about a dispensational boundary line that you need to get in your frame of reference. Ephesians 3, we saw this last week, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. You notice he didn't say Israel. Okay, Gentiles is nations. That's what this down here is. Down here on this bottom line is nations, Gentiles. Up here in this upper line was Israel's program. If you have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets and by the Spirit, that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs in the same bodies and partakers of the promise in Jesus, in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a ministry according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his powers, and to me who am less than least of all the saints is this grace given by the that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make known make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Over and over and over, you heard read some things about the grace given to me, the grace given to me. God, through Jesus Christ, through Paul, is the grace giver. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Back one chapter. One book, rather. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He's going to tell you about his apostleship. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for that he wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, see James there? James, it didn't say Peter, James and John. James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace that was given unto me, that they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So this is what they're making that distinction about. If you notice, you go Hebrews. What's after Hebrews? James, Peter, John. There's no mistake how this Bible's laid out. Well, no mistake. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience to faith. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Over and over and over verses. Chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior," what is? "Who have will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, one mediator between man, God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle, I speak the truth of Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and what? Verity. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, an acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandments of God our Savior. So think about that for a minute. There's a dispensational difference right there with Paul compared to what we read about Peter now. Now, moving on. The book of Acts is a book with 3 pivotal points. 1, the outpouring of the Spirit. 2, the outbreak against Stephen. 3, the outgoing to the Gentiles. So the book of Acts, 3 pivot points there. You're going, you hit one, guess what you do? Pivot to another, right? Hit another one, pivot to another one. It's just not a straight line all the way through. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now we're getting into study, guys. Oh, that was just filler. No, just joking. Acts chapter 2. Hey, I'm sitting down so I can relax. We may be here. We may be here to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But anyway, my hair be under tonight too. But anyway, Acts chapter 2, verse 14. The outpouring of the Spirit. Many of you know this. Many of you have been brought up, based your religion, based your denomination, based your faith in Acts chapter 2. And you're probably going to eat this up right now about the outpouring of the Spirit. But look at this for a minute. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter standing up with the 11, how many does that make?
12.
Okay, so Paul's not there. So you can't say Paul was a part of that program. He was not there. Judas was long gone by then. Lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and ye that dwell in Virginia, and Ohio, and Tennessee, and all across Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day." What time is that? 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Check this out. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
You notice the "I will" statements in verses 17 and 19. It's plainly that the Spirit has been poured out, and guess what? The wrath is on its way. Mm-hmm. So right here where you're at, in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit's pouring out, and you're going to see that it's no big deal. I don't want to say no big deal, but it's prophesied that the Spirit's going to be poured out on them. It's nothing new. And what's supposed to come next is the wrath. Mm-hmm. You just said a great and notable day of the Lord. And you know in your Bible that has not happened yet.
Right.
And the sun and the moon and all that stuff. In times past, the coming of the Spirit was a national promise which held the prospect of the kingdom's blessings over here. And it was associated with Israel's coming kingdom. You want to look at some of that? I'm glad you will. I'm glad you said yes. Go to Isaiah chapter. You need to see some of these because a lot of people will just pick this up right here and say, okay, it just happened. No. Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. Verse 2. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2. I'm going to go with it.
Okay.
Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water's courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another one shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hands upon the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it, and set an order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming shall come, let them show upon them. So he's telling them, I'm going to pour some things out. Fear not, neither be afraid, have I told thee. From that time have I declared it. Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. If you had, you should have beside that underline in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, talking about pouring out the Spirit, speaking in tongues, going to nations. So this is nothing new. Go to chapter 32. Isaiah 32. Verse 1. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots. No, that's 31, sorry. Mm-hmm. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and covert from the tempest, and the rivers of waters in a dry place, as the shadows of a great rock in the weary land. No, I wanted verse 1. I read too many. Verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for the forest. See what he's telling them? The Spirit's going to be poured out on you, and things are going to happen for you. Not for you, for Israel. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. For the sake of time, we just read what Peter said Joel would say. Well, go to Joel chapter 2. You've got to... Hosea, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, who is the remnant the Lord shall call? The little flock of Israel. And with that, the inauguration of the new covenant. Many of you heard about the new covenant, covenant. You heard about the Old Testament, New Testament. Jeremiah, go back to Jeremiah chapter 31. You find the New Testament in the Old Testament. Okay? You got to remember, the New Testament did not start in Matthew chapter 1. And we went over that over and over. There's got to be a death of the testator before there's a testament. Okay? Hebrews says, that's what Hebrews says. Mm-hmm. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody says New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ, the New Testament of His blood and of His Spirit, did not start in the first part of that book. He did not die till last chapter Matthew, last chapter Luke, last chapter Mark, and last two chapters of John records his death. That's when the testament starts. But you find it in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant thou break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. You remember that he was a husband to them. What also did he do with them? He divorced them. He divorced Israel. He didn't want nothing. Then he said, wait a minute. I'm ad-libbing a little bit. He goes, I'm not going to be like man. I'm not going to be like, and he took them back. And that's why Hosea and stuff like that, and the harlots and the whores and stuff like that, he married into them. He didn't, but he allowed them to, and they're like, what's going on here? You know, lo am I, not my people. That's what Hosea now was calling their kids. Lo am I, you're not my people, because of the people that he was involved with. But look, but this shall be the covenant that I will make in the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I'll remember their sin no more. There's going to be a time when that Spirit's poured out on them. Guess what they're going to do? Don't know the Lord. You got the Lord inside of you. But you got these people involved in Acts chapter 2 and stuff like that. They're trying to build churches, and they're trying to do this and trying to do that. No Lord, no Lord. Well, if they're believing what they say that's going on, you know I'm going with that. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter, go over one book, Ezekiel chapter 36. Listen, there's a lot of things that's going to take place that has not taken place that people says has already taken place and is taking place. I know that seems weird, but you know what I mean? There's some things. My niece last night, yesterday was talking a little bit, and she's like, oh man, does you think the
world's
The world's coming in, stuff like that. So we're in a dispensation of grace. You know, it may seem like the world's coming down. And all that. Satan wants you to think that stuff, so you won't believe what God's doing. You don't have a hope, and you don't have a catching away. But Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. For I will take you among. Now, who's the I will? It's not Ezekiel, it's God. So I will take you from among the heathen and gather you, and he's talking to Israel, out of the countries, and I will bring you into the land. That did not take place in 1948. As much as people say and want to believe it, it did not. They convinced Truman that. All these prophecy preachers up there say, oh man, this is fulfilling prophecy. We need to put Israel in the land. God's going to put Israel in the land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, Israel, and you shall be clean for all of your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, Israel, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away a stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will pour... Hey, boy. Jaeger's here. You gotta look at him. Gotta go, boy. Go sit down. And I will put my heart and my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall be keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I give your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. So he's telling them, Ezekiel's telling them, this is going to take place over there. Chapter 37, verse 14. Over and over and over. Chapter 37, verse 14. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, and saith the Lord. Chapter 39. Chapter 39. Verse 25. Therefore saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame, and all the trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of the enemy's land, and sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathens. But I have gathered them into their own land, and have left none of them any more. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord. So he's already talking about that over and over and over. He's going to pour out that spirit on them. Zechariah 12, we don't have to go there, but Zechariah 12, verses 10 through chapter to 13, verse 1, says the same thing. Over and over and over, we read, I'm going to pour this out on you. I'm going to pour this out on you. I'm going to pour this out on you. That you be in Israel, not the body of Christ. Get Zechariah chapter 8. Hagar, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. And Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is what was going on there in the upper room, right? And all that. Zechariah chapter 8. This will give you the reason why there's tongues. Okay? Zechariah chapter 8, verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that thou shalt come people and inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go into another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and seek the Lord of hosts, I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord in Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? That's the city of the great God. Pentecost, city of the great God. They had Passover, And then the feast days, Pentecost. They're not going nowhere else. Jerusalem. And pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of a shirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. We have heard that God is with you. That's going to take place over there. When they got that Holy Spirit, they're speaking in tongues. And that's the reason they're speaking in tongues, so the nations will hear them. That's totally reversible than Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 and 9. If you remember Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. They had one language there. God didn't tell them to go one language. God told Noah and his people, go out and replenish the earth. From the time that God told Noah and them do that, to the time they built the Tower of Babel is 150 years. Now, if you don't think you can't get everybody back together on one roof, under one nation, under one tongue in 150 years, you're kidding yourself. Walmart's been doing that for the last 20 years and got everybody buying everything from them. But Tower of Babel is like a super Walmart. And Nimrod said, I'm the mighty hunter. Let me do all your hunting for you. But that's what God, this is different what he did there. Okay, it's a reversal, divine reversal. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 30. Acts chapter 2, verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruits of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul would not be left in hell, neither his flesh did not see corruption. Got that right? Yeah. The pouring out of the Spirit is the proof that Jesus Christ was the exalted by the Father and is the King, and his kingdom is to be ready to establish. He died and buried and rose again. He goes up in the heavens. Not the heaven, but the heavens. Verse 34. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he said unto himself, the Lord shall said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. The time at this time right here is the arrival of the wrath to come. Remember John the Baptist said, flee from the wrath to come. Okay? John the Baptist come on the scene to save them from that wrath to come. And that's Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, when he's talking about the axe is laid at the hand, at the feet. Who's going to save you? Repent, be baptized. And the establishment of the kingdom has arrived. Jesus Christ is there. He exalted himself. He's sitting on the right hand in the heavens. And he's like, okay, what's next? The wrath that comes is going to be poured out. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? A lot of people will say, what shall we do to be saved? It don't say that. See, Peter's talking to Israel out there in Pentecost, and if you look back up there, there's 15 nations of Jews there, and they're all Cretans and Arabians and Egyptians, so what kind of tongues are they going to be speaking? That's why when they spoke it and they heard, well, are these not Galileans? They're speaking about, so it's the hearing is, if you think about it, the hearing is what they heard. And because Peter didn't speak 19 different languages, Peter spoke his language, and they heard it in their languages, and he convinced them, said, hey, you with wicked hands has crucified this. They're like, oh, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children that was afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And many other words did he testify to exalt, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. That's the same thing John the Baptist said. Save yourself, because that generation is going to go through a raft over there and be poured out. You're going to die. And Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore. Here it is again. Repent ye therefore. And you got to understand, from Acts chapter 2, he's talking to a bunch of individuals there. Acts chapter 3, he's talking to a nation. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive into the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world, what? Began. If you believe that gospel's for you, he says, he's going to send, when does he send Jesus Christ back? Way over there. So you're still in your sins. No wonder they keep telling you to come up here and kill yourself on the altar every Sunday. You know, and pay repentance and pay this. That's silly. For Moses truly said unto you, to the fathers, excuse me, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. They're going to die if they don't believe what the prophets was talking about over here. Now, the question is simple here. Will you be a part of the believing remnant or not? That's what he's saying there. Not you and I. Because if you read this to you today, you're making a mistake. You're taking somebody's mail. I just went down there in my mother-in-law's mailbox, opened up the box, it said her name, I opened it. That's a federal offense. That's larceny, okay? And that's what people does when they take mail that belongs to somebody else and try to apply it to them. They're committing spiritual larceny. And it should just tear your spirit apart in a way like, that's not right. And I do believe once you're saved, that you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, he saves you, he seals you. You have the same spirit that raised him from the dead living inside of you. Now it wants to be fed. And it can't be fed if you're feeding it different mail. You know, I can read anybody's mail, but what am I going to get out of it? Did you know they said this about you? You know, I can get, you know, but it ain't nothing to me. So the official offer of the kingdom has arrived. The kingdom of the hand right here. We saw that in last lessons. John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven in hand. We'll look at that in a little bit. Jesus Christ, kingdom of heaven in hand. He commissions the apostles, the kingdom of heaven in hand. They're preaching that. Now, he died and buried and rose again. The next thing is going to happen is we're going to put a kingdom being offered to you. Now, my mother-in-law's got a wonderful roast in there. And it's at hand. It's not going to be offered till another hour. Okay? Then she's going to open it up and it's going to be offered to you. But right now it's at hand, and I can't have it until I go in there and get it. You with me? So that's what this is taking place here. And Acts chapter 2, verse 42, down to 47, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believe were together in all things in what? Common. They sold their possessions and their goods and parted them to all men and every man as every man had their need. Do you do that today? the people that's following this church doctrine today, they say they get their doctrine. Have you sold everything you got and gave it to your apostles' feet, and they're going to give you what you wanted to give? No, you haven't. And it didn't just apply to single people. Okay? God, through our apostles, says if you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. Okay? You don't give your stuff to a church for them to give it to you. You take care of your family. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, this is a lifestyle of the kingdom being put on display here. That's what the kingdom's going to look like. When the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the millennial throne, when the first 1,000 years, he's going to give and he's going to give out. Okay? And that fulfillment of Ezekiel 36, verse 27, we're talking about that spontaneous living for one another. You know, you're going to live. You're going to give to the people over there. In obedience to Luke chapter 12, verse 32, when you talk about it is this right here, the little flock, it is my Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. So when they give it to them, and they're going to dispense things out. That was the outpouring of the Spirit. Now, we still have the outcry against Stephen. We still have the outgoing of the Gentiles, but I'm gonna stop it right there. And we'll pick up next week about the outcry against Stephen. You're going to see some things about Stephen, what he was doing. He was actually talking to the Senate of the children of Israel. You know, he was out there, he was calling them stiff-necked and uncircumcised. Can you imagine going to your Congress today and standing up and saying, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised? You know what they would do? Same thing they do. Did Stephen. They'd run you out on a rail. They'd stone you. So keep this in mind as we're going through the Bible, that there's very, very important things that you need to know. That, and we'll look at this again. When John the Baptist came on the scene, there's 400 years of silence. God did not speak audibly. God's not speaking audibly today outside his word. If you're speaking his words, you're speaking what God's saying. He did not speak 400 years, and all of a sudden John the Baptist comes on the scene. Man, like a weed, eating locusts, just like it's prophesied. The Bible says he's a man sent from God the Father. He had a message: repent, be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They cut his head off. Strike one. Lord Jesus Christ, after that happened, he had the same message, preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did they do to him? Crucified him. Strike two. We're going to look at Stephen over here. He's a man full of the Holy Ghost. His face shined like Moses. He was full of it. They stoned him. Okay? Memorize we talked about last lesson as Paul was going, gone. This is what happens to the nation of Israel spiritually. They're going. That's why the book of Acts is a transitional book. And when we get over there, after that 1 year we talked about earlier, they start to fall. And they diminish down here to Acts 28, where God, through Paul, says there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. No difference. So if there's no difference today, why would you want to live and be like an Israelite, okay? And that's what 90% of your churches do out there. Somehow, some way, they base their doctrine on Acts 2:38, which is an Israelite doctrine, which is not going on today. And if you stick around till we get through the Bible, you'll see why. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Once again, if you want to send us some prayer requests or just let us know how you're feeling and doing, we'd love to hear from you. We'll see you this time next week in a new year, if I'm not mistaken. Hopefully 2021 will be a great year. Well, in all reality, 2020 wasn't a bad year. you know, we just felt compelled and with fear and trembling and all that stuff. But you know something, if you're in Christ Jesus, you don't have a spirit of fear. You shouldn't let that stuff bother you. You know, especially your spiritual man. Because, hey, our conversation's in the heavenlies. It's not here on this earth. And that makes a world of difference, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, and you know what he's talking about? We had a little supper discussion. We're talking about ages and stuff like that and how 20-year-old, you know, my son's 26, and he's saying, you know, I'm still trying to search out some things. I said, well, look at it this way. And my other girls was sitting there and all. And I said, look at it this way. Bible says tribulation worketh patience, patient experience hope. Okay? That's Romans chapter 5. If you look at 0 through 20 years old, that's tribulation period. You're growing up. You don't know your identity. That boy don't like me. That girl don't like me. My hair looks awful. This, that, this. All these tribulations pouring out on you. Then from 20 to 40, it's patience. You start to settle down a little bit. I watch my kids. They're getting older. They're starting to settle down a little bit. They still have tribulations, you know, the patience a little bit. Then from 40 to 60 is experience. You allow that experience. 40 to 60 is a good long time. And you're allowing that experience to work in your life. And you sit back a little bit and you say, you know, I've been through that. This is what you do. Hopefully I don't travel down that road again, that type of thing, because we reap what we sow. Then from 60 to 80 is hope. I'm looking at my mother-in-law right now, and she's in the 80s. And I see her. She don't get tore up like a 20-year-old guy, you know, girl does. Yeah, she goes through some tribulations, and she goes through some pain. But I watched older people like, you know, yeah, you'll get through that. You should have been when I'm growing up in the 30s and 40s, you know. So that hope is not, be not ashamed, okay? So you have those things. But keep that in thought and prayer when you think about a lost and dying world. That's the thing out there, to know that there's people out here that's lost and dying, going to hell, and they don't know who Jesus Christ is. They don't know that he came to this earth to die. We just came through I won't call it a ceremonial season, but it's a season that people said, this is the reason for Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. What about spring, summer, and fall? You know, he's the reason for all seasons. But he came to die. And with that death, and that burial and resurrection, if you trust that, and that alone, don't put nothing else with that, then he saves you and seals you, and he takes you out of here in what we call the event of the rapture, the body of Christ. Now, when we move through here, you're going to understand what God is doing in the dispensation of grace, and I hope it makes a lot of sense for you. Until this time next week. Thank you.